Okay, let's most of you have come on back. Let's come on back. And Ken has a word for us. Ken, come share.
As we were singing the last worship song, I just began to get a sense and I felt like if our eyes could be opened, we'd have found the place full of angels. And the Lord just began to minister to me that, oh that we could see the glory around us. And this verse came to my mind. It says, "For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And then he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves." We have the treasure of the glory of God in these earthen vessels. And for now, we're limited to our earthen vessels. And yet as we were worshiping, I just, kind of in my spirit, I could just feel your spirit. And your spirit, and your spirit, and your spirit, and all the glory of God that's hidden within the vessels. These bodies, these vessels. Hallelujah. And these vessels, there was just a glory in the place, and then there was angels. I could just sense the angels were rejoicing, and we were lifting our hands and praising God, and we're doing it by faith. But boy, someday the veil's coming down, and the vessel, you know, we're not going to be limited to the vessel. We're going to see in the fullness, and yet we have the glory of God in the vessels. There's something God loves about the glory of God in these earthen vessels. And even though we cannot see it necessarily with our eyes, yet there are times when we feel it. We just know it, that we're in the presence of heavenly angels, and the glory of God is shining around, and we worship, and we sense his presence. We take communion together, and we remember the glory of God in the face of Christ. The glory of God in the face of Christ, that Jesus has made it possible, that he's breathed life into these vessels, these earthen vessels that were fallen and broken and wounded and full of sin, and yet God came in and he filled us and he cleansed us and he washed us and he made it possible for God to come and live. Jesus said to his apostles, "Oh, it's better that I go away so that I can send the Spirit, and me and my Father will come and we will abide in you." We shall abide in you. The glory of God in the face of Christ. We dwell with angels. So be strengthened, saints. Be encouraged that we dwell in a heavenly realm, not just an earthly realm. But there's heaven in you. There's heaven in me. There's heaven in us. And when we gathered together, there was just something glorious in the worship. The presence of God is in this house. Amen? Amen.
Well, church, would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that we can come in communion with you only because you came and communed with us, oh God. Lord, we thank you that we can cling to you only because you are clinging to us. God, the scripture says that we can love because he first loved us. And so, Lord, we thank you that you take the initiative.
Thank you, Lord.
You take the initiative in seeking your people, in seeking your creation, in pursuing your children. We thank you, God. And so, Lord, I pray, would you bless us right now? Would you take the initiative yet again, God, and seek each and every one of us in this room? Would you seek each and every child that is learning right now, each and every youth, God, that is hearing the gospel message? Would you seek your people yet again, oh Lord? Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors here. I have the privilege to serve this church with some amazing guys, and one of them is Ron Edwards, one of our unsung heroes back there. Yeah. There was some bias behind that, don't worry. I send him a title and a text, and he creates all these graphics up here. And so we have Choose Life, and we have this fork diverging. You got the light, and you got the dark. Absolutely beautiful. And you know, as we've been speaking through these past few weeks, some selected passages from Deuteronomy, we've been talking about how to choose life. Because it is a choice. It is a choice. When we arrive at the fork in the road, we can go right, we can go left. It is a choice. And you know, we make so many choices every single day. Most of them, vast majority, are very trivial. You know, what shirt am I going to wear today? Or if you're like some of our new neighbors, they ask the questions, am I going to wear a shirt today? And they, they have found freedom in Christ that I just don't have. So. Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right. Or we may choose what we're going to eat, what's for dinner, et cetera, et cetera. Most of our choices are trivial. You know, some of our choices, they seem not to matter much now, but then years down the road, they matter more and more and more. You know, I can tell you this. I was 17 when we found out we were pregnant with our first son. And you better believe I began to appreciate the power of choice within our lives. Yeah. Now, that's working out pretty well. I'm pretty fond of my son, Nathaniel. He's going to be 12 here in a couple months. It's exciting. And then we have other choices that we know they are important right from the get-go. Who am I going to marry? You know, a lot of marriages today, they end in divorce. And even if we marry someone and that marriage lasts a week, no matter how brief it is, that choice affects us for the rest of our lives. It affects them. It affects our family. And you know what's amazing about God is when he took my mess, when he takes our mess, when he takes the mess of people that are struggling in marriage right now, he creates amazing things through our mess ups. That is the grace of God overflowing to his people. But as we're thinking about these choices, there becomes one choice. It becomes obvious. That is the most important choice we will ever make. In fact, this choice affects how we will make all the other ones.
Yes, sir.
If we don't get this one right, we're going to mess up the rest of them.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And that choice, that question, how we answer that question is simply this. What will you do with Jesus?
Yeah. Right.
You know, when we're trying to figure out who to marry, it's based off of this question. What we decide with Jesus. When we decide where we're going to work, it's based off of our decision with Jesus. When we decide to have children, to raise them, how we're going to raise them, that's based off of this decision. What do we do with Jesus? It affects us for the rest of our lives and for all of eternity. It is the very, very foundation of our lives. What will you do with Jesus? And this is the question I want to talk about today. As we are wrapping up this series about choosing life, the ultimate way to choose life is to answer this question right here. If we get all the other stuff right, but we mess this up, we've missed it.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about how do we choose life with our families? How do we choose life as God's inheritance? How do we choose life in our finances over and over and over? This is where it all boils down to. What will you do with Jesus? So now with any decision, if you're coming up upon a big decision, what do? You try to gather information. You try to research it. You want to make a wise choice. And so today, let's talk about what it means to choose Jesus, to follow Jesus. You know, some people, I've heard this said that you can't know anything about God. God is unknowable. In fact, I heard that this week. And my question to that generally is, well, how do you know? A couple of you will get that in a few days. How do you know that God is unknowable? You can't do it. Knows all. There you go. He is very known. How do you know that God is unknowable? You can't do it. And also, you know, I encounter this a lot as I'm ministering, as I'm sharing with people who aren't incredibly interested in what Jesus has to say in their lives. And I ask them, do you believe in God? Does God exist? And I'll get the response of, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to make a choice on that. If you choose not to decide, that's still making a choice. Everyone answers this question. Well, it went away. But the question that was there, everyone answers that. I'm sorry, Ron, I'm messing with you. We either answer it positively or negatively, but everyone answers this question in their life. And we so want to get this right. And so today, if you have your Bibles, open it up to Deuteronomy 30. Thank you. That was probably the second half of my sermon. You're getting out early. There you go. Now I know why you were happy about me preaching. Open up to Deuteronomy 30. We're looking in verse 11. And here, Moses is giving some of the last teachings of his life. This Moses, he has been with Israel for over 40 years. He led them out of Egypt, out of slavery in Egypt. You've heard the stories of the 10 plagues. Moses was there through all of that. Moses led the people through the Red Sea. Moses led them out in the wilderness, where the Bible says bread came from heaven, and where water came out of a rock to sustain the people. Moses led them through all of this. And now he is up at the very edge of the promised land. And he is instructing his people before they go in. He knows his time has come. Dude is about 120 years old. His time had come. So he is instructing his people. He has just summarized the entire law for them. And then this is what he says in verse 11. He says, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and your heart, so that you can do it." You see, the word of God, it is not too high and lofty or mysterious or unknowable or incomprehensible or any of this stuff. God reveals himself to his people in very concrete ways because he wants his people to know him. Yes, yes. He wants the world to know him all throughout the Old Testament. If you read this, you will see God's heart for the nations over and over again about how God wanted to reach the people through Israel. Israel was to be a light to the world so that people could come and know God. And this idea right here that God is revealing himself to his creation, this stands in stark contrast to what the nations surrounding Israel taught. Many, if not all of them, taught that there was not one God. There were many gods. Could be hundreds or thousand gods. And that, while you might know things about them, you cannot know them. You cannot know the meaning of life. You cannot know any thing deeper than what you see and feel. And in contrast to that, God says right here that life is in God's word. You want to know life? Know God's word.
Yeah, right.
If you want to know life, pursue Him. You will find life.
Amen.
I want to fast forward for just a moment, just because somebody doesn't like my Old Testament talk. It's okay. It was in the notes. I was moving forward anyways. In the New Testament, we read this. We read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word of God, that God says, this is how you find life, you find it in my Word. This Word took on flesh and came to earth in the person of Jesus. Jesus is very near to you, as Moses would say right here. In fact, Jesus was known as Emmanuel, God with us. If you want to know life, if you want to experience life in the fullest way, you must experience it through Jesus. And I believe, church, I believe everyone knows that there is a God. Everyone knows that God is there. Everyone has a sense of the divine. Even if you come across some raging atheists, of whom I was once one. Let me say this. In my own walk, I was very outspoken against God, very outspoken against those who would follow Him. This has been several years ago. However, God did not give up on me. And God's people did not give up on me. Let me say this. If you're here and you feel like you've been ministering to someone, you've been praying to someone that they would know God, and you feel like the more you pray, the further away they get,
yeah.
If you're feeling that way, don't give up on
that's
them.
Right. Amen.
I'm begging you, don't give up on them. Because I can say this, God hasn't given up on them. And the only reason that I can stand in front of you today is because God did not give up on me.
Thank you, Lord.
Keep pursuing, keep seeking, keep ministering, keep sharing, keep doing all of the good things that God has you doing. Because He will bless it. And you don't know how those seeds that you were planting, you don't know what they're going to look like. As I look back at my own life, I could see people who shared the gospel with me even as a child. And they don't know what route that took. They don't know what the plant looks like. They will someday. You know, I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to see how all this amazing things here on earth just worked out. About how a smile that we shared with someone, how a kind word that we shared with someone, about how that led them.
Yes,
to God, how that led them to eternal life. About not only how did it lead them, but it led their kids and their neighbors and their families and on and on and on. Oh, church, I'd look forward to that day. Thank you, Jesus. And so, but even then, we have a sense of right and wrong. Even people who are not following God have a sense of right and wrong. They know that there is a standard because they don't want to be cheated. They don't want to be lied to. Because they know that that's wrong. And so we can all agree there is a standard outside of us to judge right and wrong. The Bible simply calls that Jesus.
Yeah.
It calls that God's word. And so we seek to share that with others. God has revealed Himself in creation. And some people, maybe many people, probably many people, take all of the information that God gives us, take all of God's glory and majesty that is showcased in this world. They take all of that in and they make a really sad choice. Instead of choosing life, they choose death. So, church, I don't want anyone here to choose that today. I want us to follow God today. We need to make a wise decision. We need to answer this question. What will you do with Jesus in a wise way? And so we seek the information. We see God's word as portrayed in the person of Jesus. We learn about God through his word right here. But then when you have to make a big decision, what do you do next? You think about, well, what are the consequences of this choice? You know, if I choose A, what will happen? And if I choose B, what will happen? It's sort of like when you're trying to choose where you're going to work. It might be this job over here pays this much, but the hours are terrible. But this one over here pays less, but the hours are amazing. And so then you can figure out which one would be better for you and for your life. Well, Moses gives us that same thing. He shows us what the consequences of our choices are. Look back with me at Deuteronomy 30. Look in verse 15. Moses says, "See, I have set before you today life and life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, then I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess." The consequences of how we answer this question are major, profound, eternal. Whatever we decide to do with this question, what will you do with Jesus, will determine the rest of our lives here on earth and forever. And you know, God usually lets us feel the consequences of our choices. He lets us feel those in the hopes that we will learn. You know, when a few years ago, we used to live in a children's home up in Harrisburg, Coyote Hill. Absolutely amazing place. But up there with our elementary age kids, or with all the kids, you know, if it's cold outside, we would say, "Get your jacket so you can go to school." And if they didn't want to put a jacket on, I'm not going to argue with a 7-year-old. I got better things to do. And so I said, "Okay." So you let them go outside and be cold. And after they did that once or twice, you better believe that jacket came off the hook real quick when it was time to go. You see, God works with us in the same way. If we choose to do something that's going to harm us, something that's against us, he might let us feel the consequences of that so that we will learn, so that we will gain wisdom, so that we would know how to better walk in this life and how to better bring others along to know him and to follow him. And so if we follow God, we know that we could spend the rest of our lives with God, not only with us, but in us. Yes. That's what Doug said this morning. That Holy Spirit will fill you, will seal you for the day of the Lord. So that when we come and stand before God the Father, God sees his Son's righteousness on us. Now, that doesn't mean that we will avoid suffering here in this life. It doesn't mean that we will never have hardship. In fact, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When we follow God, we know that as we walk through suffering, as we walk through pain, as we walk through trials, God is walking with us.
Thank you, Lord.
And I know that there's many people here. I know your stories. I know there's many people here that are walking through some very dark times. That does not mean that God is not with you. It doesn't mean God has forgotten about you. It doesn't mean God is mad at you. It doesn't mean any of those things. Take heart in this. God is with you as you walk through that dark time. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. In fact, oftentimes the reason why I was able to make it through the dark times in my life was because God was pulling me through the entire way. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Amen. You know, oftentimes when we make a decision to follow Jesus, and it's the folks that preach, well, then you'll always be healthy, you'll always be wealthy, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the case. You know, the world, those without God, they are mortgaging their very lives in pursuit of earthly pleasure. But God is so much better than that. You know, God doesn't promise he'll give us health and wealth because he has so much better in store for his people. The people that find their eternal pleasure, the greatest satisfaction we can ever have in Jesus, God has so much better planned for those. Now, for those who don't follow God, you know, if we decide, what will you do with Jesus? And if we decide, nothing, I don't want to do anything with Jesus. For people that decide to live life away from him, away from his blessings, you know, God will let you. He'll pursue you. He'll keep seeking you. He's going to send people in your lives to try to draw you back to him. But God doesn't force people to follow him. God doesn't force people kicking and screaming to go to heaven. It's not how it works. You know, sometimes I'm asked, how can a person make it without God? It's simple. You can't. You don't. And for someone to try to live life apart from the source of life, for someone to try to find joy apart from the greatest joy we can ever experience, it doesn't make sense. You can't do it. It's like trying to drive a car without the keys. You can't do it. What will you do with Jesus? You know, as we've been talking about how God has revealed himself, and we can talk about the consequences, what will happen with whatever we do, we could spend all day researching and trying to gather information. But sooner or later, we have to choose. What will you do with Jesus? And Moses, he gives us a strong admonition, a strong encouragement. Look at verse 19 with me. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, clinging to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Moses says, choose life. Another prophet later on named Ezekiel, he put it like this. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Don't choose death. Choose life. You know, so when you think about our families, I know there's people here that are struggling within their families. What should we do? Choose life. When we think about our relationships, could be a friend, could be a spouse. What do? Choose life. When we think about work, choose life. In everything that we do, church, let's choose life.
Amen.
And here's the key. We've spent the last few weeks talking about choosing life. What is the greatest way to choose life? What will you do with Jesus? To choose life is to choose Jesus.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen.
That's the message, church. That's the message for the last 8 weeks as we've been going through this sermon series. To choose life is to choose Jesus in everything that we do. For he is our life. When Jesus walked on this earth, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life.
Amen.
Oh, church, will you choose Jesus today? If you're sitting here and if you're hurting, you're saying, how can I choose Jesus? You don't know the pain that I have. Choose Jesus. If you're sitting here today and your relationships, your family is falling apart, choose Jesus. If you're sitting here today and you're wondering, how am I going to pay my bills this month? Choose Jesus.
Yes.
In everything that we do, church, choose Jesus. Our life is wrapped up in Him. Amen. To be apart from Jesus, that's not life, that's death. We don't want that. We want our lives to be in Jesus. Now remember, He won't force you. He won't force you to follow Him. We have that choice. We have that fork in the road where we can choose life or choose death. But I can tell you this. He's my King. Will you make Him yours? In fact, I wonder, do you know Him today?
The Bible says, my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know Him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He purifies the meek. I wonder if you know Him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know Him? Well, His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get Him out of your mind. You see, you can't get Him off of your head. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him, and the grave couldn't hold Him.
Let me ask you, church, do you know Him? Do you know Him? I want to do something a little bit different right now. I want to ask everybody to close your eyes and bow your heads. if you're sitting here today and you've never come to the place where you know Jesus, if you've never come to a place where you've said yes to Jesus, if you've never come to a place where you have chosen life by choosing Jesus, I want you to pray this with me in your heart and in your mind and say, oh Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are my King. And Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you, God. Lord, I thank you that you are sufficient for my sin, that the mess that I've created in my life, you have cleared. You have taken care of. You have claimed me as your own. And so, Lord, I give my whole life to you. I choose Jesus today. And I want to choose Jesus every day for the rest of my life. Now keep your eyes closed. Keep your heads bowed. And I want to ask, is there anyone here that has come to know Jesus for the first time today? If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to get up. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. All I want you to do is simply raise your eyes and look at me. That way I know. That way we can follow up. We can celebrate Jesus together. And don't force it. Jesus doesn't force anyone. If that's you today, and if not, that's okay. If it's you today, and have said yes to Jesus for the first time, I'm going to take a moment. I want everyone to keep your eyes closed, but if that's you, I just want you to make eye contact with me. Welcome to the family. Oh. Now, if you're sitting here today, and maybe you said yes to Jesus, I don't know, 100 years ago, but it feels as if you drifted away from Him. It feels as if when you turn to Jesus, you don't see anything there. It feels as if your spirit has run dry. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. And I say, Lord God, would you fill them again, Lord? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit again, oh God? Would you remind us of that you are the all-sufficient one? Would you remind us, Lord, that your grace is enough? Would you remind us, Lord? You know, sometimes we get the urge, we get the desire to see a sign, and we say, God, give us a sign. Lord, would you remind us that you already have? Jesus on the cross is the greatest sign of your love, of your mercy, of your grace, of your desire to be with us than we can ever have, Lord. And so, Lord, for those who are sitting here today that are feeling empty, that are feeling drained, that are feeling as if their life's so messed up, there's nothing you can do with it, that are feeling as if you've abandoned them because of the things going on around them, God, I pray, would you fill them up? Would you bind the brokenhearted, oh God? Would you remind us this morning that you are the loving Father that will never leave, never forsake His people? In the moments of weakness, God, that I know some in here have, when they go to bed at night, when they wake up in the morning, in the quiet place, when their thoughts are drifting, God, I pray you would meet them there, oh God. I pray you would show them, Lord, that the very foundation of their lives is wrapped up in you, oh God. And Lord, I pray that you would draw us near to you yet again. Is there anyone here that prayed that and it needs to be filled again and needs to be reminded again of God's love? If you do, I want to pray for you. I want to take just a couple moments here. If you're sitting here today and if you need prayer for anything, I just want you to raise your hand. We'll have some folks pray for you. We've got Bobby over here. He has a procedure this week. We get a few guys over here to pray for Bobby. There's a few ladies back here. Can we get our prayer team ministering? Lisa, will you come? Will you pray? Over here. Joy, where's Joy? Is she here? She was here. She's back there. Will you pray back here by yourself? Right straight back. Will you pray? Right there. White shirt. Raise your hand. Is there anybody else that needs prayer today? Matt, over here. Can we get a few guys over here to pray with Matt? Karen? Karen here is having back pain. Can we get some folks to pray here and pray for healing? Pray that God would take away that pain. Is there anyone else needs prayer for anything? You don't have to share what it is. Then church, let's just take a moment and let's join in prayer of those being offered. And let's take a moment and offer a quiet prayer up to the Father. Let's sit and be still and know that He is Lord. He will be exalted among the nations. All right, church, would you pray with me? If you're praying for someone, please keep praying. But church, join me. And we say, Lord God, You are our King. You are our Savior. You are our God. We can join with the words of Thomas, of Doubting Thomas, when he stood in front of Jesus and said, My Lord, my God. Lord, we want to know You more today than we did yesterday. We want to know You better tomorrow than we do today, God. Lord, we want to choose life and everything that we do. And so, Lord, we want to choose Jesus today. Would You help us, God? You are the Lord that not only gives us Your word, not only gives us Your Son, not only conquers sin, defeats death, gives us the Holy Spirit to help and to guide us. You have done everything possible to help us to choose Jesus today. And then You guide us and teach us for the rest of our lives. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your great grace. We thank You for Your great mercy that You have shown us. And so, God, would You fill those in here who are empty? Would You heal those who are sick, oh God? Would You lift up the brokenhearted, oh Lord? God, would You save the lost? Would You save those who don't know You? Just as we sang earlier, once I was lost, but now I'm found. God, there are those who are lost now. Would You give them a but now moment where they could say, I was lost, but now I'm found? Would You save them today, oh God? Lord, we love You. Lord, we realize we got nothing. You have everything. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' powerful name, that same Jesus that we heard all these amazing things about. We pray in His name. We say amen.
Amen.
Well, it's time to get our kids. If you have kiddos, please go and get them. If you're sitting here and if you need prayer and you didn't get prayed for whatever reason, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. But we will see you next week.